Thanks to Indeed for supporting the Productivity Show. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Indeed is the number one source of hires. Join over 3 million businesses worldwide. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/TPS. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks to Calm, the number one mental wellness app, for supporting the Productivity Show. Sleep more, stress less, live better with Calm. Go to calm.com/TPS. Get 40% off your Calm Premium subscription with hundreds of hours of programming, unlimited access to Calm's entire library, and new content is added every week. Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We help tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Now, on The Productivity Show, we've talked a lot about the power of habits, but we know it can be difficult to add new habits to your life. One strategy that helps you introduce new habits is called habit stacking, and that's what we're going to be covering today. It's an easy way to add habits, and I've used this myself in the last decade before it even had a name. So if you're struggling with habit building, adding habits to your life, listen up and pay careful attention. You'll discover how you can easily add 3 new habits right away. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/364. And now, on with the show.
All right, welcome back to another episode of The Productivity Show. My name is Brooks Duncan, COO of Asian Efficiency and wearer of many hats here at Asian Efficiency and The Productivity Show. We help people become more productive at work and in life. And joining me, as always, is the co-host of The Productivity Show, the CEO of Asian Efficiency, Tan Pham. Tan, how's it going?
Hey, good to see you, Brooks, and excited to talk about habits today. I know a lot of people always ask us, like, how do we add more habits? Can you build multiple habits at the same time? What do you do, you know, when you lose a habit? Like, questions like that come up all the time. So I'm excited to kind of start diving into one of the most effective strategies, in my opinion, to start building and incorporating more habits into your life. So let's just get into it.
Yep, I use this trick all the time, as we're going to talk about. Tan and I both have lots of examples and stories that we'll share and give you some other tips as well. But before we get into that, we always like to start every podcast episode with our top 3 resources. So these are things that we're loving lately or members of the community are loving lately, and we want to pass them on to you. So Tan, I know you have 3 top 3 resources to share. So why don't you go ahead and share your 3?
Yeah, I figured I'd pick some things that are related to today's topic. So the first one is a book recommendation called Atomic Habits by James Clear, who's a good friend of mine. And he was on a podcast a while back, and we can link to his podcast episode as well. But I think this is kind of like one of the top 3 books on habit building. So if you're interested in diving deeper into the science of habits and building habits, Atomic Habits is a great book that you can get on Amazon or on Audible. So go check that out. The second one is an app called Streaks, and it's available on multiple devices and platforms. This is kind of like the OG of habit tracking apps. Like, this app has been around for so many years. It's really simple to use. When I was first starting out, like, using apps to kind of keep track of my habits, this is the one I used. And I still use it every now and then, but this is kind of like the OG that you know will just work, and it's really simple. So highly recommend you check that one out. And then the third one is called the 5-Minute Journal. So this is a physical journal you can use. And I use this every morning to kind of start my day, kind of get my head clear, kind of get my head focused on what needs to be done that day. And as the name kind of implies, it doesn't take more than 5 minutes to do. So it's a really easy and effective journal that you can use on a daily basis.
All right. And we'll have links to everything in theproductivityshow.com/364. Or if you're listening to this in your podcast app, just swipe over to the right or whatever you need to do to get to the show notes. And there'll be links to all of these right there in your app. So like Tan said, we're going to be talking about habit building today. And maybe you've tried in the past to build new habits, but you just can't get them to stick. Or maybe there's one specific habit you've been trying to build for a long time and it hasn't stuck. Or maybe eventually in the past, you have made these changes stick, but it just took forever and you want a shortcut to make it faster next time. Or maybe you just like, I just like tactical productivity tips. You know, none of this theory stuff, none of this psychology stuff. Just tell me what to do. And so that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to go super, super tactical in this episode. And we're going to be talking about building habits and a trick you can use to do just that. Now, next week, we are going to go the other way. And I'm really looking forward to this episode, actually. And it's called How Our Productivity Thinking Has Evolved. This has actually started with some feedback from members of the Productivity Show community and the Dojo, our productivity community. They passed us on some feedback and had questions about how our productivity thinking has changed over time. And so we're going to explore that. So I'm really, really looking forward to that episode as well. And that, so that is going to be next week. All right, Tan. So we know that creating a habit is hard. All of us have tried to create a habit and maybe it didn't work out so well in the past. Why is it that creating these habits are so hard? Like, why do we have so much trouble doing this?
Well, there's a couple things. And if you read Atomic Habits, you can kind of start diving deeper into it as well. But the short version of it is that typically introducing change in our life is very challenging. It takes a lot of focus and energy to kind of get that started, right? We have some inertia that we have to overcome to get there. And so it's just easier just to keep doing what you're already doing. So we need to find ways to focus and have energy to introduce something into our lives. And it's just really easy for us to make excuses or to rationalize somehow that, you know what, I shouldn't be exercising 3 or 4 times a week or do this or do that, right? And so I would almost say the smarter you are, the easier it is for you to get out of your habits, right, that you're trying to build. Because there's just, you will always find a good reason not to do something. And so what makes habit stacking so powerful, which we're going to dive into in just a second, is that you're kind of like adding to something that you're already doing, right? So the idea of habit stacking is really simple. There are things you already do in your personal life and in work, right? So you're not trying to introduce something brand new necessarily. And the key is you're just trying to pair the things that you want to do with the things you're already doing. So you're kind of building on the success you've already created, on the momentum that you already have, right? So instead of starting from scratch, you add to what you have going on. So for example, a really easy one is all of us brush our teeth probably in the morning, right? I would say 90-95% of people probably do that, right? It's something you do already. Like, it wasn't a difficult habit that you had to create, right? So habit stacking, the idea behind habit stacking is then to say, okay, if I'm already doing this, what else can I add on top of that? And so you can say, hey, after I finish brushing my teeth, let me just journal for 5 minutes, right? So you're kind of like adding on top of that already. And the easier it is to kind of like tie them together, the more likely you will follow through and keep doing that, right? So instead of saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to pick up the habit of journaling, which is kind of like a new thing, which can kind of sometimes create resistance. With habit stacking, what you're trying to say is, okay, let me try to tack it on to something else that I'm already doing, because that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, and we want to give credit where credit is due to this. This isn't some like discovery that we came up with. This is something, I mean, it's, the idea has been around for a long time, but I think the person who really crystallized it and a lot of us have learned from is a guy named BJ Fogg, and he has a program called Tiny Habits. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And so he was the one who kind of like really crystallized this and started describing this concept of tying something you want to do with something you're already doing. But I think a lot of us have maybe heard about it for the first time through the book that you mentioned earlier, Atomic Habits, where James Clear talks about it quite a bit. And he also talked about it in his appearance on our podcast. You mentioned that earlier. It's called TPS 217 is the episode he was on. So the productivityshow.com/217. And we'll have links to that in the show notes as well. All right, in this episode, we're going to share 3 ways you can use habit stacking to build and maintain a consistent habit, whatever that habit is for you. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to share tip number 1, and that is to use the habit stacking formula. Habit stacking is really easy to apply to almost any situation if you think about it in terms of a template that you plug things into. A lot of times when we're trying to make these productivity changes, we tend to overthink things. We tend to want to create these big systems. But really, this stuff doesn't have to be complicated. Sometimes the most simple tips are the most effective. And the habit stacking formula is very, very simple. basically what you want to say to yourself is, and you can even write this down if that's helpful or type it out, to say, after X, I will Y. And so X is your existing habit or behavior, and Y is the habit you want to create. So an example of this is, let's say that I want to be prepared and make it easy for myself to go to the gym in the morning. I want to eliminate friction and things that are going to cause me problems. So I might say to myself, after pressing start on the dishwasher, I will put my keys, wallet, AirPods in my gym bag and put it at the top of the stairs. So I'm trying to build that habit of going to the gym. So I'm just saying, I'm the one who loads the dishwasher and starts it usually at night. So I say, after I press that start button on the dishwasher, then I will go load my gym bag. Or maybe on the flip side, you want to get in the habit of emptying the dishwasher and not leaving it around for the rest of your family or something like that. You might say to yourself, after I pour my morning coffee or tea into my mug, I will empty the dishwasher. And so you're writing that down and you're pairing that X with that Y. How about you, Tan? Have you used this yourself in the past? Is this something that I know is a, you know, a productivity trick that's out there, but is this something you personally use?
Yeah, I've been doing this for so long that like I started doing this kind of like on my own discovery and without knowing that it was like a thing already or even had a name. And so oftentimes I would just try to add stuff to what I'm already doing, because if you have that momentum already, adding to that is relatively easy, right? But starting something from scratch takes a lot of inertia that you have to overcome. And so simple examples nowadays for me are after I work out at the gym, I'll ride my bike on the trail. Like that's a really easy way for me to get some miles on my bike. Another example is after clearing my desk at the end of the day, I'll clean my place for 5 minutes. Because if I just think about, oh yeah, let me make sure I clean my place every day for 5 minutes. There's just, like I said earlier, there's just so many excuses that can come up when that happens and when I tell myself that, right? Because now it feels like, oh, this is like a new habit that I have to do from scratch. Like, what's the perfect time for this? Like, what are the ideal conditions? Like, I can just come up with so many different things, right? But if I say to myself, hey, after I clean my desk, let me just clean my place for like 5 minutes. It's like my way of maintaining my place, making sure it's organized and somewhat clean. Instead of doing it once a week for like an hour or so, if I just do it every day for 5 minutes after cleaning my desk, that's relatively easy to do, right? So again, there's a common theme here. If you've been listening to us for a while, it's like we're always trying to trick ourselves in some shape or form. And this is kind of like another way of tricking ourselves to say, okay, this is actually not that big of a deal. Let me just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, that's a great point, because with productivity and with habit building, we always feel like we have to have this iron willpower. And if we aren't successful at something, it means we don't have enough willpower. A lot of times, like you said, it's really about tricking ourselves to do what we want to do. I did this when I was trying to build my reading habit. I've talked about that before on the podcast. And I use this formula, essentially. I said, after coming home from the gym, I will read for 30 minutes. And that's exactly what I do. I walk in the house, go to the sofa, and start my reading. So I pair that after X, I will do Y. Also, when I was trying to build my morning journaling habit, I tend to do that on my computer, and I want that to be the first thing that I do. So I use that also. After turning on my laptop, I will start my morning journal. And that is just the habit that I got into, and it's been quite successful for me. We record these episodes live in front of our TPS Plus members and our Dojo members. So TPS Plus is our special version of the Productivity Show. You get episodes a week early and without ads, and you also attend the live stream as we're recording it. We've got some of our members sharing their great examples. So Laura says, after putting something in the microwave, I will plank for 30 seconds. And that is a perfect example. You know, you've got time. That's actually a great example of using this strategy. We all have these little tiny bits of time throughout the day when we're waiting for something. So that's a great way of using this little bits of time to actually do something that helps us. So I love that example, Laura. So thank you so much for that. All right, so tip number one, like I said, is using the habit stacking formula. And it seems so simple, and it is, obviously. After X, I will Y. However, there's a lot of landmines and ways that you can try doing this, and it might not work out as well as you had hoped. As usual, the devil's in the details. And really, Tip number two is to start small and realistic. Because if habit stacking has one Achilles heel, if you don't pick the right trigger, the right X, it won't work. And trigger, like I said, we mean which habit X are you going to tie it to, and when does that habit happen? You have to choose a realistic scenario for you to base your habit stacking on. Otherwise, the result is not going to happen. Is the why the thing you want to happen? Is that even doable at this time? So, for example, if I say to myself, after brushing my teeth in the morning, I will go for a 10K run. So that sounds great. You got the formula there. It's theoretically doable. However, that might not work if you're rushing around in the morning trying to get kids to school, or maybe you have clients in another time zone and have early calls. So you might think to yourself, I want to run 10K every day. And you might think that this habit stacking is the way to do that, which it might be, but you have to make sure that the time that you actually put it together will actually work. Another example is you might say to yourself, after attending our morning meeting stand-up, I will get to inbox zero. That might be what you want to do. Let's say you want to get to inbox zero every day. Sounds great, but it might not be doable depending on the large number of emails that come in. Maybe you often have coworkers stopping by. So there's ways you can use this template to take control of your email, for example, but you want to be very careful that the X and the Y line up, or it's not going to be successful.
Hiring is one of the most important things I do. For a company to grow, you need to find people with the right skills. Find candidates with skills you need now with Indeed assessments. When hiring gets hard, you need Indeed, the job site that makes hiring incredibly simple. Just attract, interview, and hire. With Indeed, you can do all of your hiring in one place, even interviewing. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are in Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. Indeed Instant Match immediately delivers quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. You can then invite them to apply right away. Why is this important? According to Indeed data, candidates you invite are 3 times more likely to apply to your job than those who only see it in search alone. Plus, with Instant Match, Indeed data shows 90% of employers get quality candidates from Indeed's resume database as soon as they sponsor a job post. According to TalentNest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Get started right now with a $75 sponsor credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/TPS. Get a $75 credit at indeed.com/TPS. Indeed.com/TPS. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Consider this ad as your mental health checkpoint. How are you feeling today? A little anxious? Haven't been sleeping well? Lacking focus? It's okay to need help sometimes, and Calm can provide support. We're partnering with Calm, the number one mental wellness app, to give you the support and the tools that will improve the way you feel. With Calm, you can clear your head with guided daily meditations, improve your focus with Calm's curated music tracks, and drift off to dreamland with Calm's imaginative sleep stories. And if you go to calm.com/TPS now, you'll get a limited time off of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of programming. New content is added every week. You can sleep more, stress less, and live better with Calm. Everyone at the Asian Efficiency team uses Calm. We consider Calm as the masterclass for guided meditation and help improve our sleep. Getting quality sleep and less stress is not only great for your mental health, but it also helps with your productivity. And that's why I also use Calm, and you should too. Calm is offering you a special limited time promotion of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/TPS. That's 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library, and new content is added every week. Get started today at calm.com/TPS. That's calm.com/TPS.
Calm.
Another example that I have in my personal life that I think everyone can relate to is sometimes I'll make tea in the morning or I make coffee in the morning, right? And so it takes a little bit of time to boil the water. And so a really simple habit that you can have is to say, after I hit the button to boil the hot water, I'll meditate for 2 minutes. Like, it's such an easy thing to do, right? And my tea maker, which is the Breville automatic tea maker, which I, by the way, highly recommend because it's just like one push button to make awesome tea. It takes about 2 minutes to kind of boil the tea anyway. So in those 2 minutes, kind of like what Laura said earlier about using the microwave, it's the same thing for tea in this case, or if you make coffee, to just do something if you want to, right? Like, it's completely optional, obviously. And I've just found it to be really simple to kind of add to that and say, okay, let me just meditate for 2 minutes. So I'll just like close my eyes, just do some breathing and get my head clear. And by the time the water is done boiling, you get a little, you know, buzzing sound and you're like, off you go, right? And so just think about what are some things you already have going on in your life and how can you add to that? And going back to the example of like making it simple and realistic, like this is a simple and realistic example, right? Like running a 10K after hitting the boil button, probably not. Like, that doesn't make any sense, right? And I think most of us kind of get that. But if you're struggling with this and you've tried this before and you see that it's not been very successful, just think about this. Like, is this actually making sense somehow, right? For example, you could also say, hey, after I brush my teeth, I will read for 30 minutes. Like, that sounds pretty normal and pretty doable, right? As long as you have access to it. But then what Brooks was saying earlier too is think about the context. If you are always rushing out the door to get to work on time, like that might not be realistic because now we're introducing a lot more chaos in a way, right? So you have to kind of like have that self-awareness a little bit to say like, is this trigger the right trigger for what I'm trying to do afterwards, right? Which is the why. And so I would say, yes, it's a really simple formula and template that you can use. Just the nuance is it realistic?
Yeah, for sure. Like, for example, I gave examples earlier about going to the gym when I wake up and then reading after the gym. That only works for me because my kids are teenagers now, so they are sound asleep when I do all this stuff and that we don't need to do too much in the morning anymore. So that is all very possible for me. If this was back when my kids were in grade 2 or something like that, it just wouldn't work out. Or I'd have to have some like agreement with my wife where we share roles and that sort of thing to make it so that we could both do stuff like this. So it's only possible because my situation makes it possible. If I wanted to have these same gym and reading habits that I wanted to build, I'd have to do them at different times, maybe right before or after lunch when the kids are at school or something like that. So it really depends on your ability to actually do these things. In the live stream, Phil gives a great example. He says he wants to start being more deliberate about what he listens to when he's commuting to work in the car. Right now, he defaults to the radio, but he'd like to change it so it's a podcast or a book or something like that. This is exactly what I did. I was exactly in this situation, and I used this habit stacking, this after X, I will Y, to do exactly that. I used to do the same thing whenever I would drive. I would listen to often sports radio or just radio in general. I did this exact same thing. I made a deliberate decision that I said, after I start the car, I will start an audiobook playing. I've been doing this for years now, and having that after X, I will Y worked perfectly for this. So now when I'm by myself in the car, I always only listen to audiobooks for that exact reason, because I wanted to be more intentional with my time. So yeah, thank you for that great example, Phil, because this is a perfect way to apply habit stacking to achieve a habit that you want to make.
Yeah, if there's one suggestion I would make is to say, you know, after I get in the car, I will listen to the productivity show. I think that's probably the best one.
That's an even better habit stack. Thank you. Thank you for that, Tan. Also in the live stream, Joel says that if we're talking about atomic habits and we're adding habit stacking to it, are we really what we're doing, creating habit molecules? So I like that. Yeah, we're building habit molecules in this episode. All right. So tip number one is to use the habit stacking formula. Tip number two is to start small and realistic. So, so important when you are building your habit stacking plan. And so now we'll do tip number three, which is to be super, super specific for your X and your Y, for your trigger and your result. Be super, super specific, because uncertainty just leads to friction, which leads to broken habits. I mean, it sounds really simple, but if you need to stop and think about things, or if you give yourself wiggle room and open for interpretation, your brain's excuse engine will kick in. Like Tan said earlier, it's all about tricking ourselves, tricking our brains so that we get the result that we want, because our brain, like you said, is like actively trying to stop us from making these type of changes. They want to just chill out and not rock the boat. We've talked a lot on the podcast about tasks, about how it's so important for your next action. This is straight out of Getting Things Done, GTD as well. You really want your next action to be broken down and specific. So you don't want to have a task that says, like, figure out the price for a banquet hall or something like that. You want your next action to be call Georgina to discuss the banquet hall quote. When you're looking at your task list, if you have to figure out what to do next, then chances are you're just going to skim over it and not do it. And with habits, it's the exact same thing. You could apply the habit stacking formula and say, after waking up, I will do yoga. That's okay, but it leaves a lot to interpretation. Like, are you going to do yoga in bed? What type of yoga? There's a million types of yoga out there. What type of yoga? And so by having it general like that, it just leaves a lot open to interpretation. So a better habit stacking might be something like, after I come downstairs from bed, I will do the Lululemon 20-minute yoga class on YouTube. That is super, super specific. The trigger is super, super specific. The action is super, super specific. And it's a lot more likely that you are going to actually take action and doing it. Another one might be, after coming home from basketball, I will read a book. That's also not super great, because does that mean you're going to read the whole book? What does this mean? So this is one reason when I was building my reading habit, I very specifically say read for 30 minutes. I time bound it. Some people read for a specific number of pages. I like reading for a specific time. Specificity is really, really helpful for making sure that you're building habit and you're taking the action you want to take.
Another great way to think about this is that ambiguity is the enemy of action. So the more ambiguity you have around what to do, the more likely you will just stand still. And so this is one of the reasons David Allen always talks about, like, be clear on your next action, right? Because if you can't tell what you need to do, it's easier just to do nothing rather than to take action. And so anytime you find yourself procrastinating or not doing something, or you feel like it might be too overwhelming even, just stop for a moment and think to yourself, is this specific enough? If I had to give this to someone else and they had to read it for themselves, could they understand what needs to be done? And if the answer is no, then chances are you probably don't know either, right? So we want to make it so that if we ever gave this specific habit stack or this specific thing to do to someone else, that they should know right away what to do next. And the more specific you are, the easier it is to get started, right? And oftentimes, also, if you're like a beginner with this, I would say the smaller it is, the less intensive it is, the easier it is too to get started, right? And so going back to what we were saying earlier, hey, you know, after I finish brushing my teeth, I will run 10K. Like, that might be a little bit of a, you know, a stretch, right? Because it's such a big thing. Something like, hey, after I finish brushing my teeth, I will do 10 push-ups. Like, that's something that's a little bit easier, right? Now, I know a lot of women struggle with doing push-ups. So if 10 is too much, like, maybe you go for one or something, right? Or you do like five with you going on your knees or something like that, like whatever fitness level you're at. And so make sure that it's super specific, right? And I would also add to the nuance, like, the easier it is to do, the more likely you will follow through to it as well.
Trust me, I know a lot of men who have trouble doing 10 push-ups too, so it's definitely not specific. I want to loop back to an example we were talking about with the playing the audio in the car, because there's a discussion in the live stream, and it's a perfect example because I have fallen into this trap so many times where I want to build a habit, I want to do something, and I want to do it in a really, like, optimized way. Like, I jump ahead five steps to, like, maybe applying automation or having keyboard shortcuts or something like that. Like I jump way ahead to trying to do it in the most efficient and effective way, which of course we love on the Productivity Show. But when you're building habits, I wouldn't get stuck on doing it in the best way necessarily. I would worry about optimizing later. It's like we said, taking the most simple and doable action first, just to get started and build the habit. And then you can loop back later. Once you start going, you can loop back later and apply optimization. I think you're going to have a much better chance of cementing that habit if you start simple first, then jumping ahead. And I only say this as someone who has a natural tendency to jump way ahead at the beginning. So I've learned over time, start simple, start super actionable with something you can do now, and then you can improve it later. All right, Tan. So like we said, the habit stacking is something that's very simple, but there are a lot of landmines and a lot of ways that it can kind of go off the rails. So if somebody wants to apply this and get started with habit stacking to try to build a habit, what's the maybe next step or first step that people should take?
Yeah, so let's get you started on implementing the formula, right? So after X, I will Y. So write that down. Make sure you have that written down somewhere. And let's start plugging in what X is for you. What's the habit that you're currently doing? And then let's plug in Y. What's the habit that you want to be doing right after that? And whatever comes to mind, let's just write that down first. And make sure we start doing it today or tomorrow. And let's just get started there. And so if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us an iTunes review. That would be much appreciated. That would always help us kind of grow our podcast. So thank you so much in advance for doing that for us. Next week's episode is all about how our productivity thinking has evolved. So some things that we've talked about in the past might not be true anymore. And we're going to be revealing what those are. So if you're interested in that topic, you definitely don't want to miss next week's episode. And if you want to have access to everything that we talked about today, you can find the show notes at theproductivityshow.com/364. And thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.